You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
A real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right, folks. Welcome to 2020. This is the Crispy Compact Communique. Man, I never thought that we would have to, you know, go to this length, but here we are. We're on Skype. Thanks to the powerful internet, we can still at least do somewhat of a show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And yeah,
this is the weirdest thing ever.
It is, but we're going to run with it. Obviously, things happening with the state of Pennsylvania and all across the country with the coronavirus. We just could not in good conscience, go out at a time like this when all the officials, all the experts are saying you got to stay home, you got to flatten the curve. So we're going to do our part. And unfortunately, that means we are suspending production on the traditional podcast that we do every Thursday. And it does break my heart to do that. But it's a precaution we have to do. We have to obey what the experts are saying. So as of this moment, we can't do the full-blown two-hour podcast that you know and love. But that doesn't mean we can't, we don't have to not produce anything. So
that's right.
Mike had this great idea right before we recorded last week's show to at least have a backup plan in place. And this was the result that we're going to do a Skype mini show of our podcast. And I think that's probably the best thing we can do at this rate. Use the internet to our advantage and use things like Skype and everything like that. And we at least have something to give to the Crispy Noodle faithful. So
this is better because now they get to see our ugly mugs.
Yeah, that too. This is new territory because, I mean, there have been some bits for the podcast that we've done video for, but we usually don't do the entire show.
No, and never an extended conversation. And what makes it even weirder is that because I'm talking to a computer screen now, you know,
yeah,
it's like you're not even here to interact with. So it's like extra weird because we've been doing this for 7 years now and it's always been in person every single time, you know. So it's like we're stepping way outside of the normal processes that we've built up over the past 7 years.
That's right. So that's why I'm saying that this is officially not the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but instead it is the Crispy Compact Communique, episode one.
Episode one. It's a brave new world.
Yes, this is it. Buckle up, everybody.
It really is a brave new world. Can I tell this story? Yeah. I had to run to Whole Foods, right? I know, even with the whole stay at home thing, I had to pick up some stuff. And it was bizarre because I'm driving down Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a very trafficked road, especially around rush hour. And there was nobody out. There was nothing. And I get to the store. Even the cars are parked like every other spot. It was like really weird. And then they had like a guy at the door and they were monitoring how many people were in the store at one time. And they're like, we're at capacity. You can't come in. Wow. And I was like, he was like, you have to wait outside. So I was like, okay, this is actually kind of frightening because it's the start of every dystopian story we've ever watched and read and played. And then in the store, they had yellow lines taped to the ground that indicated what 6 feet apart was. So everywhere you went, every aisle, it was – and the shelves were bare. Nothing. Like we're at a breaking point now.
Wow.
It is wild and frightening. There you go. A little bit of cheery news to kick off the first communique.
Yeah. I just
had to say that though.
Yeah. These are the times that we're living in. But you know what? It's one of those things that, you know, we were saying a couple weeks ago that like the podcast is kind of like a little bit therapeutic.
So
I'm hoping that this crispy compact communique will be therapeutic for us and for all of you guys that tune in to the podcast. This will also go out as an audio podcast, so if you're subscribed to our feed, you got that. But we're also going to put this up on our YouTube and Facebook live channels. So either way, whether it's video or audio, we still got content coming at you. And I think that's the right thing to do in this trying time of the coronavirus.
And we're not the only ones. I was flipping through the channels. I saw Trevor Noah was doing it from his home office. I saw, you know, John Oliver is doing it from a completely empty set. It's truly, truly bizarre. At least now we have we still have somebody else to play off of.
Yeah.
Those guys are just performing to an empty room. I can't even imagine. It must be so bizarre.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're with me for the ride, Mike, because I don't know how we would have gone through this whole thing without Skype and without the comfort that is the internet and Skype and everything like that.
And to
all of our people that are going to listen to this and watch it, thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully this is going to be a way to keep your mind off of things, because we are actually going to talk about some news. There is actually some news happening that is not coronavirus related.
We have to get back to a sense of normalcy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And this is what we're hoping to bring, a little bit of normalcy, a little bit of fun back to the current world order.
That's right. So I figure we got some football news. I know Mike will be excited for football news.
Always.
So let's jump right into that. The Eagles, of course, made a big trade after we published the podcast last
week.
Always, without fail.
It was like it was like that night I was going to bed. I was like, of course they would.
Yeah. Big play Slay coming to Philadelphia. Finally, the cornerback help that we have been asking for, that Mike has been demanding for, in Howie We Trust. Mike, how do you feel about this trade?
I mean, I feel absolutely great about this trade. I wanted Howie to make a play for a cornerback for a long time. I was, you know, all last year, people will remember, I was complaining about not going after what's his name and the other guy, the Jaguars guy. What's his name?
Yeah,
you gotta help a little bit here. What's his name? Jalen Ramsey.
Ramsey, yeah.
Oh my God,
it is. It's all right. It's a little odd talking like this, but it'll work.
It's a little odd. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey, there was a few other guys that hit the market that the Eagles didn't make a play for. I knew that Darius Slay wanted out of Detroit, and he's been a Pro Bowler for them, very solid corner from what I understand. He's like a one-on-one man coverage type guy, so he fits Jim Schwartz's scheme perfectly. Jim Schwartz actually drafted him in Detroit, so, you know, they have a little bit of experience working together. We didn't give up a lot for him either. A third round pick and a fifth round pick, which is phenomenal considering that the Rams, I think it was the Rams traded for Ramsey, they gave up like two first round picks.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was going to reset the market in terms of trades, but apparently it didn't in this case, which I'm really happy about. A third and a fifth, I think, is a steal.
Yeah, that's nothing. Especially since the Eagles got those comp picks. They're still in good shape.
Right. They still have a third round pick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, that's what that extra draft capital allows us to do. The one thing I am concerned about is that he's actually the highest paid cornerback now at $16.7 million a year. That's a big contract to give to a corner. Do you think that's too much invested in one position?
Yes,
but you have to get a number two.
Yes, but you want a shutdown corner. You got to pay a shutdown corner price.
Yeah.
You know,
Slay can be that shutdown corner for us.
Right. So I'm not dismayed by it. No.
I like it. I like the move.
Yep. And it pretty much guarantees that we're going to draft a wide receiver with our first overall pick in the draft next month.
I hope so. That's the one area of need that we still have not addressed in this offseason. I hear the wide receiver class is very deep with all those picks, potentially a trade up or stay where they are. Guys could drop very easily into the high 20s. I do this every year. I get really excited, get my hopes up, you know,
every year,
every year,
the life of being a Philadelphia fan.
Yeah. I never learn.
Yeah. So with that in mind, how about we extend the scope out of Philadelphia and just to the NFL draft in general? Because I think it's very odd that we haven't had too much movement in the draft yet. It's coming up less than a month away. The only major move that really happened was the 49ers trading DeForest Buckner to the Colts. And for that, they got the 13th overall pick. So that's the highest in terms of switching.
Movement.
Yeah, the highest movement that has happened so far. But, you know, I think there could be something that happens. The draft order is number one, Bengals. Two Redskins, three Lions, four Giants, five Dolphins, six Chargers. You have the Dolphins and the Chargers at 5 and 6, and they both need quarterbacks. They need franchise quarterbacks. More so the Dolphins. The Dolphins really need to land a quarterback in this draft. The Chargers, they just lost Phillip Rivers, so maybe you can give them like a year grace period if they don't land their guy yet. But the Dolphins, really, after their tank year, they need to land a quarterback. Do you think it's possible that with the Redskins having the number two slot, the Lions already having the number three slot, number four, the Giants, they already have their quarterbacks. Do you think there's going to be a move to get some more draft capital from those teams? And then for the quarterback needy teams, they need to jump up.
I don't know that it makes sense for either the Dolphins or the Chargers to jump up, because like you just said, a lot of those top five teams already have quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for the Dolphins to get anxious and leap up two spots to get a quarterback. I think if they want to, it will probably drop to them. Or Joe Burrows will probably, I think that's the other big name quarterback, will probably drop to them. Mm-hmm. The Chargers.
Well, Burrows probably going to go to the Bengals. That's Bengals. Kind of.
I thought everybody liked Tua, though.
Well, Tua got hurt at the end of the college football season last year.
And because of the coronavirus, nobody can do physicals.
That is a real legit concern. There's no physicals being done.
There's no physicals. It's holding up. It held up free agency a little bit. That's why there was not a lot of – there was a flurry of activity before free agency and then a flurry of activity after it started. But, like, right around when it started, nothing was coming out because teams didn't know, can we announce these moves because players haven't passed physicals. Like, Tom Brady couldn't go to Tampa to do a physical.
Yeah.
You know, it's all that weird stuff. It's interesting how it's impacting everything. So teams can't check up on Tua and see how he is because he would have been, you know, one or two off the board. I still don't think those teams are going to trade up. Joe Burrow's number one overall, but I think Tua's going to drop. The Chargers maybe will try to leapfrog the Dolphins, but I don't know.
That's the things that I'm kind of talking about, is if the Dolphins stay content at the number fifth spot, maybe the Chargers, maybe another team comes up that needs a quarterback and, you know, says to the Redskins or the Lions, you know, hey, we need a quarterback too, and you guys need draft capital just for a couple of spots, you know, it can happen.
I mean, maybe. The only team that I care about is the Eagles. I want to know if they're going to try and jump up into the top half of the first round to get one of those top three receivers. You know, I've heard murmurs that, you know, one of those top three could fall to 21, but I'd rather the Eagles play it safe by being aggressive. I know that sounds like an oxymoron. Jump up and get the guy that they actually want instead of standing at 21.
Yeah. What are you, Madden?
I am mad. Yeah, they're gonna. When I say play it safe by being aggressive.
Yeah, the team with the team with the most points usually wins the game.
80% of football is half of football is 80% mental.
No, 80% of football is half mental.
There we go. Something like that. So 40%.
I love that.
Yeah,
because it's like, does that mean it's 40%? Why couldn't you just?
Who knows? Yeah,
right.
Who knows?
It's Madden. He's a saint in his own right. But yeah, so I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think there's a chance, you know. I mean, look at the Bears when they were hot on Mitchell Trubisky. They were willing to give up a lot to switch. With the Broncos at the time, was it? They switched. There can be some movement like that where you really want to make sure you get your guy, you know, because especially for the Dolphins, if the Dolphins do not get a quarterback in this draft, it's really going to look bad for him.
I just don't see there being that much movement in the top five.
That's
because, right. Like, what are they? I mean, they could swap maybe 4 and 5, you know? Or I don't think they'll have to give up anything to just swap spots with somebody.
Oh, you can always ask for something.
You can always ask for something, but I don't know. I think a simple swap and with 4 and 5 wouldn't be out of the question. But I think the Chargers is the real wild card here. Mm-hmm. If they want Tua, they could leapfrog the Dolphins. But I haven't heard anything about the Chargers and quarterbacks. So I think they might just be in, like, just, you know, fly under the radar, just maybe tank this season, or just try to make do this season and see what happens.
Or maybe just be silent this whole time and then like strike right on draft day. Just bam. Would be interesting.
Maybe.
Of course, this is all draft talk. You know, you're not going to know until the day of the draft.
No, but still, we don't even know if the draft is happening. So,
it could get that dire, but let's not think about that. I don't know what you're going to do, Mike. If NFL goes on postponement, I don't know what you're going
to
do.
Look, we don't have to worry about that until August, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's when – how does this affect training camps? Is this season just going to completely suck for everyone? Is this the year where some really terrible team sneaks into the playoffs because nobody's ready?
And there's a 7 seed now?
That's right. Yeah, they passed the CBA, didn't they?
Yeah.
This season is going to be calamitous. It's going to be chaos. Anarchy.
The Browns are going to win this year. The Browns are going to win the Super Bowl.
It's going to... No, you watch one of those Florida teams, Miami or the Dolphins.
Tampa Bay. Terrific Tom. He's going to lead them to the Super Bowl.
To the promised land. Yep. You watch. Yep. If there's ever a year for a random team to make a play, it's this year. Extra playoff spots, no training camp, completely messed up scheduling. This is the year. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be terrific. Tom, he's going to lead Tampa Bay,
and the Eagles will finish 9-7.
Yeah,
and get to the divisional round.
They'll make that 7th seed.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yep.
One interesting note I wanted to bring up since I mentioned Tom Brady.
Okay.
Did you know that with him officially making the move to Tampa Bay, 22-year-old Sam Darnold is now the longest tenured starting quarterback in the AFC East division?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
How's that from, like, you know, historic quarterback to just guy who literally just started last year?
Yeah, that is insane. And it just goes to show this season's going to be completely unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Yeah. I think you watch the Bills. They're going to run away with that division. The Bills and the Dolphins, they're going to, or to everyone's surprise, maybe the Patriots are just as good. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills were 11-5, I think.
And that was with the Patriots and Tom Brady still at their peak.
Yeah. So. And now they just got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I don't know. You watch. Good run. Yeah.
Good times in Buffalo, maybe.
Good times in Buffalo.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they do. They've been through a lot. Okay. This is not just a sports show, though. I'm going to switch gears here, do a small bit of entertainment here. This is something I found on Twitter. Obviously, there's so much you can do at home. So one of the things is waste all your time on Twitter. Why not?
Of course.
And not just people like us on Twitter wasting their time on Twitter. First off, Jim Gardner has a Twitter, just FYI.
That makes sense. I mean, he's a big local personality.
Yeah. So, you know, just FYI, if you're not following Jim Gardner, follow Jim Gardner.
Does he put out good content?
Yeah, he's got some news bulletins and stuff.
Okay.
But here's something that caught my eye and I wanted to tell you about.
Okay.
He, I guess, got a little bit bored during the whole coronavirus lock-in stuff. And he had, like, a segment where he was asking embarrassing movies that you like.
Okay.
And he was asking people to comment, you know, what's your favorite embarrassing movie that you like, and back and forth. And somebody said that they loved Godfather Part 3.
Oh.
And I knew this is a sore subject for Mike. No. I had to bring it up. So this
what do you mean there's a third Godfather?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
There is. And Jim Gardner retweeted it with the reply on it, quote, Godfather Part 3 is the worst movie I ever saw next to Ishtar, which is a movie that came out in 1987. So,
and he's not wrong.
So, yeah, I just want to know your feelings on that. You got a celebrity now in your corner. Godfather Part 3.
If anything, it only bolsters my argument. The Godfather Part 3 is the worst movie. No, don't say it was nominated for Best Picture. No.
It was.
No, that's a non-starter. Lots of movies win Best Picture that don't even deserve Best Picture. Shakespeare in Love, Dances with Wolves.
Well, it didn't win. It was nominated.
Right, but even still, that's what I mean, is that's not a great metric.
Okay.
All right. I'll let you argue your point.
Right. So here's the thing that I want to step you back from, all right?
Okay.
It is obviously not, it doesn't hold a candle. Godfather Part 3 doesn't hold a candle to 1 and 2, obviously. Absolutely not.
Right.
But is it the worst movie ever? I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. There are some good parts to Godfather Part 3.
It's not the worst movie ever. Al Pacino alone raises the bar of that film. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor. I'm not going to take that away from the movie. The part where Sofia Coppola dies is fun.
It's fun.
She was annoying. She was annoying.
I want that on the back of the Godfather Part 3 DVD. You know, Michael Costanzo says...
The part where Sofia Coppola dies is fun.
Right. And it's like nice and gold and embroidered and stuff. Yeah. Right.
But that was fun. The whole opera thing was fun. You know, the whole plot there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the worst movie ever. It's a bad movie. I dislike it for lots of reasons, but it's not the worst. I mean, oh my God. Just in terms of, if you want to be really objective, one of my favorite movies of all time, Tommy Boy, is considered one of the worst movies of all time. I mean, his Rotten Tomato scores like in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, that's dead wrong.
I disagree, but want to be objective about it. Just off the top of my head, I don't know why this popped into my mind, but the Mortal Kombat movies. I think it's because they were announced they were going to be on some streaming service. They are downright terrible.
Yeah.
Like, atrocious.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. There's that one Robin Williams movie where everybody dies. I can't remember the name of it. Where it's like first his wife dies, then his kids die in a car wreck, and then he dies, and then they're all dead in heaven. It's weird. It's bizarre. I hated every second of it. That's terrible. Now I'm just like ragging on different movies.
Right. But
Godfather 3 is not the worst movie of all time. There's plenty of bad movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very disappointing when you compare Part 3 to the legacies of 1 and 2. Right. So that's what I would say. Though, to go back to Jim Gardner's original question, is there a movie that you're embarrassed to like, or that is a movie that is panned by everyone but you love?
There's tons of movies that I like that people don't like. And that are embarrassing to admit. I saw Bad Moms in theaters.
Mm-hmm. And you liked it?
I loved it. It was fantastic. Wow. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I know, it's not a great movie. Four Christmases is another one. Everyone's like, oh, that sucks. I love it. Four Christmases is great. I like my trashy movies. What?
You're
like, wow.
All right, so that was a movie that Rachel forced me to watch.
Which one?
Four Christmases.
I liked Four Christmases.
I didn't think it was that good.
You tell Rachel she's got good taste in movies.
Went over my head. It
was fantastic. The part where the baby throws up and then he's fighting back the throw up, it gets me every time. It cracks me up. I don't know why.
Yeah. I guess my movies. I love the scary movies.
Oh God, those are terrible.
Especially the second. I love the second one. I don't know why that one always gets me, with the guy with the creepy hand and like he's playing with everyone's dinner.
Oh my God.
I love that scene.
Okay.
And then a movie that I will defend that got critically panned.
Okay.
Would be The Cable Guy. I love The Cable Guy.
Wait, that was critically panned?
A little bit. Yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of people thought that Jim Carrey was miscast. He shouldn't have been playing a dark comedy role, but I liked it. I thought it was great.
I think he worked in that role.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
That makes me think of, you know what other movie that we both like that's technically didn't do well with critics was Fight Club.
Oh.
Every time.
I love Fight Club.
You look up the Metacritic score for Fight Club,
mm-hmm.
on. Let me find it right now. I can do research. Yeah,
we can do research in real time.
It's a 66 on Metacritic.
Get out of here.
That's like below average if 7 is the average.
Yeah.
You know? But I really enjoyed Fight Club. I guess a lot of people probably thought it was heavy-handed, which it is. Heavy-handed and disjointed.
I don't know if it's I might be spitballing and this might not be right, but I think there's a lot of complaints that there's things that don't match up from the book into the movie.
Potentially.
So I think maybe that could be an ire of criticism.
But a 66?
Right. Shouldn't be a 66. No, it's a fantastic movie.
I mean, there's lots of adaptations that don't, you know, accurately portray the book.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think that's odd.
Yeah.
And I
mean, that just goes to show you reviews only get you so far. Yeah. You know, the thing is, you have to look at the genre of the film in correlation to the critic score and what you're looking for. You know, if you're looking at comedies and you're like, oh, that comedy only got it a 6 out of 10. Well, duh, because comedies are terrible, like inherently, as are horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to judge them on different scales.
Steve on Preston and Steve always says that when it comes to comedy movies, because they're so subjective, you have to go lower in your ranking. You know, that like a 7 for a drama is okay, but for a comedy, it's really more like a 5 because you don't know what's going to, you know.
Absolutely. Stick. I would say the same thing for horror, because sometimes you want a really bad horror movie. You want the 4 out of 10 horror movie because you know it's going to be campy and it's going to be schlock, but that's what you want. You know, so you have to go based on your own interest, based on the genre, and then you take critic scores into account. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. Okay, so there you go. I thought that's a little entertainment, you know, trying to do a little bit sports entertainment. And also, by the way, since that was from Twitter and everything, I just want to reiterate to everybody at home, if you have a question that you want us to answer on this crispy compact communique series, let us know in the comments or on Twitter, wherever you're watching this, let us know and we'll answer them. So since we're doing sports and entertainment, I figured there's only one way to start to, you know, end the show. And that's, you know, we got to do an odd news story. I need to get the odd news out of my system. All right.
Okay.
I still research the odd news.
It's building up.
Yeah.
Wait, this is an interesting thing. Is the story from Florida?
That's a good point.
Because we haven't had a podcast with
yes!
It is? Oh my god.
Orlando.
The odd news gods are truly with us during these trying times.
Yes. There's
I want to know.
There's always Florida.
Florida fails for elections, but they always come through for the odd news.
Without fail.
This is a good point, though, because next week, I don't know if, you know, this is going to continue the whole, you know, stay at home order thing, but I'm assuming it will. Are we going to have an episode where we don't have Florida odd news for the first time since like episode, I think it's like 77 or.
Well, I mean, just it's going to be numbers. Yeah, because I'm only going to do one odd news story. So.
Oh, OK. Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know.
So at some point, there's going to be a non-Florida odd news story.
It's going to ruin our streak.
Hey, Dan, we got to do. We got to do what we got to do in dire times here.
Yeah.
All right. But,
so what did Florida have for us this week?
Right. And it is coronavirus related. I'm happy to say.
Of course it is.
A woman was arrested for assaulting her boyfriend. But when she was arrested, she shouted violently, "I have the coronavirus," and then faked cough.
Oh, come on. No, that's just wrong. That's just playing with people's fears and emotions. That's dickish right there.
Responding early Wednesday to a domestic violence call in Lady Lake, which is a suburb outside of Orlando.
Okay, Lady Lake.
Lady Lake.
Why is it called Lady Lake?
You might get lucky near Lady Lake.
Oh.
Yeah. Police encountered the bloodied victim.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, blood, yeah. The man whose nose was broken told officers that he had been attacked by his girlfriend, LaDonald Shaky Holmes.
Oh, get no.
What a name.
LaDonald Shaky?
LaDonald Shaky Holmes.
How is Shaky spelled? Like they're shaky?
S-H-A-K-K-I-E.
Is it Shaky?
Maybe Shaky?
Shaquille? How is LeDonald spelled?
How about go back to the first name?
The camera.
First name, LeDonald. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I'll be able to get it on the the webcam.
LeDonald.
LeDonald. Right there.
Why? That's a woman's name?
Yeah.
LeDonald?
LeDonald. It's LA. Female.
No, you know what happened? They settled on Donald. This kid, you're going to be named Donald. Surprise, it's a girl. Oh, crap. LeDonald.
LeDonald, yep.
That's how they figured that one out.
So the man said that he was lying in bed with 38-year-old Holmes when she told the victim that she wanted to have sex. Okay. Lady Lake. The victim recalled that he declined to engage with Holmes since she said she was also going to leave him to get back with her ex-husband.
What? Dude, this is the trashiest story ever.
Yep.
She's just like, I want to bang, and then I'm going to leave you for my ex-husband.
Right. Right before I get back with my ex, I want to have one last bang.
Right. Just want to have one last fling. Yeah.
Yeah. Rebuffed, Holmes became very agitated, at which time she roundhouse kicked the victim in the nose. Not a punch.
What?
A roundhouse kick.
This is just too over the top. You can't, LeDonald, Jesus, man.
Yeah, she does not mess around. When she wants to go, it's go time.
It's go time, right.
Yeah.
Roundhouse kick.
Cops did confirm that the nose was broken.
Roundhouse kick tend to do that.
Yep. Holmes was arrested for battering her boyfriend. As cops tried to get her into a squad car, Holmes kept falling to the ground as if she was in pain. That's when she said, quote, I have the coronavirus. I'm dying.
I'm dying. But you had enough energy for both sex and roundhouse kicks.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
It's a very aggressive disease.
But she was fine for sex and roundhouse kicking her boyfriend?
Soon to be ex-booty call.
Right. Oh, my God. Also, you know what just popped into my head right now is LeDonald is not a name you want to shout during sex.
Yeah, it's not very erotic.
LeDonald. Can't get over the name.
Yeah, that's... This is what I have to work with, these names. These are great.
God bless Florida.
Holmes was then transported to a local hospital for further evaluation. She did say, you know, you got to take everything seriously, even if it is a joke.
You know, the dumb thing, the sad part is that they had to waste a test on that person.
Yeah.
You know? What crime does she get charged with?
So she's got a pair of felony counts, domestic battery and battery on a paramedic. She must have took a swing at one of them at some point. She was released from the county jail after posting a $7,000 bond. So somebody likes LeDonald enough to get her out of jail.
Yeah. One of her many lovers.
Yeah. Maybe her ex-husband.
The ex-boyfriend, the ex-husband, I don't know how many exes does she have. But the thing that pisses me off the most about that is using the coronavirus as an excuse.
Yeah, that's just
because because then all the cops and paramedics are like, now they're like heightened in terms of their concern for their own safety and their own health. And then they had to waste a test on her all because she had a roundhouse kick her soon to be ex-boyfriend in the face. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on. You know what? We're going to get a flurry of stories that are going to be like that, where people just shout coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, to get through a crowd quicker. They're just like, I got coronavirus. Look out. And they start coughing. Everybody parts like the Red Sea. Look out. You know?
Yeah, that's what's going to
happen. There's a hot tip for you guys. Shout coronavirus in a crowded room. No, don't do that. It's terrible. It's terrible advice.
Yeah, there you go. Just like the actual podcast itself, we have unethical recommendations for our listeners.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. That's your odd news story for this crispy, compact communique, which, by the way, if you liked any bit of that, Mike said this on the podcast last week. We have 300 and some episodes of odd news, including some that are marked as our best of shows. So if you're in need for another laugh, we've got full episodes that are devoted to nothing but strange, strange but true odd news that we've had over the years. So I would highly recommend that if you're looking for some fun, check out our archives. We've got plenty of odd news that'll make you laugh.
I just did the math. Do you want to know how many odd news stories we've done?
How many?
Because I took the number of episodes. This would have been 349.
If we had an episode.
If we had an episode. I don't think we're numbering this episode.
No, this is going. No, this is a separate thing.
Right.
This
right,
is the
right.
Crispy Compact Communique episode one.
Exactly. So 348 regular episodes. And I took the average number of odd news stories. There's over 1,700 odd news stories that we've done.
Oh my God.
I know. Wow. Isn't that like a gut punch? 1,700 odd news stories. And that's being very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
The actual number is probably closer to 2,000.
Wow. So
at that moment, Rich goes, what have we been doing the past 7 years?
What have I done with my life?
What have I done?
This is what I've done. So I've amassed.
You just pull out this like giant tome. You're like, this is my life's work.
all the true odd news that happened.
That's right. But there you go, guys. There's a huge archive there. You're not going to be without content ever. We're looking out for you guys during these trying times.
That's right. Something we've been talking about is, you know, because this is like a shortened form of the podcast, and since we can do this on Skype, this may be like a twice a week thing. You know, it doesn't have to just be once a week. So we want to give you guys as much content as possible. And if you like the show, if you liked this Crispy Compact Communique, make sure that you like the video, that you comment below. I got to get my video in frame. That you comment below, you like it, and that you're subscribed, and you're following us for all the updates as they happen. But for right now, we're going to start to wrap this up. Mike, anything that you want to say on your end?
Everybody stay safe. Hope you guys had fun with this new version of the podcast. It's not even the podcast. I don't know what you want to call this. The communique.
Yes. Crispy Compact Communique.
Crispy Compact Communique. Yeah. So stay safe. Stay inside. Give it a listen. Let us know what you think. That's all I got. Make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
That's right. Go. So make sure you're doing all that. You're following us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all on there. We'll update you guys as this new battle wages on, this coronavirus battle. But you know what? We're going to get through it. It's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get through it, whether it's through Skype, whether it's through some sort of weird telephone call. Somehow we are going to get the podcast delivered to you.
The party must go on.
The party must go on. That is right. So until the next time we do it, we'll see you guys later.
See you guys.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Robert Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.